Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to gather again as your bride, to study your word, to hear from your spirit, for revelation to come down to us, Lord, for us to worship you, for us to pray to you, just to call out as brothers and sisters in Christ with a bond that is so much deeper than just knowing each other or living in the same town, having similar backgrounds or having similar experiences in life, Lord. It goes far beyond that because you have bonded us together as the bride of Christ. And we are so in awe of that and so thankful for that. You have brought each one of us here safely this morning, and that you have that you are divinely meeting with us right now, Lord, that your spirit indwells each of us and also meets with us here in our midst, Lord. Pray, Lord, that you would get all of the praise and all of the glory for this. We pray that everyone would be truly blessed, Lord, just by the attending, but also by the hearing of your word and preaching of your word, studying of your word, the ministering of the Spirit, the praises that we get to hear brothers and sisters call out to you with and that we get to participate in, the prayers that we get to offer up, Lord, encouragement and just updating each other on life, for sharing life together, Lord, all of it. We pray that you would get the glory, Lord. We praise you so much that we get the benefit and the enjoyment of it. We give you all of this this time, Lord. We give you all of this service, Lord. We just pray that you would be glorified in it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So last time we were not here when it was my turn, and Mr. Tom was gracious enough to go ahead and cover for me. So it's been a long time since we were in Psalm 1. We're going to be back in Psalm 1 again. About 6 weeks ago, we talked about the first of the promises of Psalm 1, which was the promise of blessing. I just kind of, you might remember this little graphic. I just broke it out into like three different promises that I noticed there. The promise of blessing was the first one, which is the first two verses, which say, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Today we'll just be looking at verse 3, that I've just labeled as promise of fruitfulness. Each of these also as promises, we know that the Lord is the one who gives the blessing, which we're going to look at a little bit as a recap in just a second. The Lord is the only one who brings about any eternal fruitfulness and glory for himself, and he is the one who holds and authored and created and is completely bringing us into fellowship for all of eternity also. So anything you see in this that is good is completely of the Lord, even if it describes any of us doing it. Remember last time we said just in the beginning here, blessed is the man, which was the Hebrew word esher, means just to be happy, fulfilled, and safe. And let's say just by, I guess, sheer appearance of the word blessed, it means that there is someone, or blessed, there is someone who is a blesser. So we are recipients of blessing, and that implies that someone must be blessing us, which is always really, I don't know, sad, but also ironic, I guess, when you hear someone say, oh, I feel so blessed, but they are in no way a Christian, in no way a believer. It's like, you know, it obviously begs the very first question of, by whom? Who blessed you? Like, where did you get this blessing? Because it must have come from someone. But as believers, we have that. There are verses all over scripture that that show this like threefold blesser blessing to the blessed. Second Chronicles 16:9, always one of my favorite verses, even when I was a kid, probably because it had the word fro in it, not a common word here, but blessed are the for the eyes of the Lord blesser run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support or blessing to those whose heart is blameless toward him, the blessed. So we're the beneficiaries of that. James 1, 17 and 18 also I have listed there, but that also same pattern, blessing, blesser to the blessed. We also saw that there was a positive element, or this is what you're marked by. A blessed man, he enjoys the promise of this happiness, fulfillment, and safety. There's also a negative. These are the things that he is not marked by. He is not acting like and keeping close company with the wicked, the sinners, and the scoffers. But then again, we get, but this is another mark of what he is. He is, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on it, he meditates day and night. So when you put those together, you got, blessed is the man whose delight is on the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night, and the negative, or what he is not. Cursed is the man who walks in the counsel of the wicked, or stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of scoffers. Excuse me. Seems like every time I go to speak, it's the days when I'm like, but anyway.
Not a cough drop?
Oh, I think I'll just get some water in a little bit, but I appreciate it. Thank you. Morning. We also looked lastly at the seven different walks of Ephesians, which seemed very timely and fitting. And I was so thankful that the Lord steered my attention towards this. Just in the way of color coding, I'm not going to go through all of these again, but I do have two of them up here. But basically, you see the red ones are the negatives. These are the things that you're not walked by. The walk of a sinner is the first walk in Ephesians, which is what we are not marked by as Christians. Walk of good works, walk of our calling, what we are. Walk of ignorance of God is, again, something we are not marked by. Then the last three walks of Ephesians are things that we are marked by, again. The walk of love in Christ, walk as children of the right and true light, and a walk of wisdom. You might remember these. Again, just kind of recapping what we went through last time before kind of moving forward. So today, sorry. Thank you. Today we get to Psalm 1, verse 3, which is, he is like a tree planted by streams of water. So the blessed man of verse 1 is a tree that is chosen, he's cared for, has a place chosen for him, has a hole dug and soil prepared for him. Just like if you were to go and buy a tree or buy a plant, with the exception probably a Christmas tree in your living room, but most trees, you know, you go, hey, I want this particular tree. I want to care for this tree. I want to prep this tree. I want to get it ready. You have a place chosen for that tree. You know exactly where you're going to put it. You dig a hole and you prepare the soil for it. You don't just go throw it out in the yard and hope that it grows. That is exactly what we benefit from being trees that we are planted by streams of water. See also that he is planted, which is the Hebrew shathal, meaning transplanted or planted. I spent an inordinate amount of time thinking about the words transplanted and planted and just like how those differ and how they're the same and how that really correlates, or the Lord uses that in our walk. And first of all, if you think about planted, that also implies similar to verse 1 where it said blessed is the man. Well, when you have blessed, there must be someone blessing, as we talked about. But when you have planted, there must be a planter. So similarly, you know, the Lord is functioning in both of these capacities. He's blessing us. He's planting us. We didn't just happen upon a really awesome river as a tree who waddled around through the woods and found the most perfect place to thrive and to live. So who were you before your salvation? God chose to pursue you and pluck you from that. He chose to plant you into this abundant life, as Christ called it in John 10:10. And shathal is the transplantation of salvation. You were taken out of something and transplanted into something new. And, of course, you were planted there as part of that process as well. But again, that is not so. There is definitely a negative there. If you look back in verse 1b, it says, this does not apply to people who walk in the counsel of the wicked. It's not for those who stand in the way of sinners. It is not for those who would sit in the seat of scoffers. If you look at Matthew 15:13, says, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. So sticking with this, you know, planting metaphor for Mr. Mark.
Don't mess with me.
He follows me, so I guess I should tread lightly. Might take aim at me, right? Every plant that the Heavenly Father has not planted will be lifted up by its roots, as opposed to verse 3 here in Psalm 1. He is like a tree planted by streams of water. So big contrast there between the two. I also noticed that there is by streams of water. This is life-giving water. I was remembering this painting that I saw forever ago, and I could not find it for the life of me, but it was where these two rivers converge, and there was a tree that was sitting right at the convergence of these two rivers. It has roots that are growing down into the water that you can see out of the side of the banks. I mean, it was an amazing sight, you know, and that immediately came to mind when I thought of this, a tree planted by streams of water. It's life-giving water. It is on site. It is plentiful. It is never failing, and it is sustaining. All of that is a beautiful correlation or a beautiful example of what the Lord is to us. He doesn't just plant us. He actually sustains us and gives us life-giving streams of water. You also notice, too, that it says streams of water. There's a plural there. I should have put the Spurgeon quote in here. Spurgeon has a really great quote where he's talking about, you know, even as a believer, I will not do it anywhere justice, of course, but as a summary. But he was saying, even as a believer, even when you lose sight of your salvation, or you lose sight of in a struggle, you lose sight of, oh, wow, the Lord is using this. The Lord has so many streams that he is bringing and converging around you as one of his trees that there's not a single source. He's not just saying, oh, don't worry, I got this, or, you know, hey, I'm your buddy, I'm there for you. It's none of that. He's completely sustaining us, which in these streams of water through all the different sources that the Lord uses. One of them, of course, that I've told you all, you know, a great length about, I don't know, I feel like I maybe even talk about this too much, but it's just like really this church. I mean, it really, having not had a really great church for a really long time, that is a stream that the Lord, you know, he sustained me in ways when I didn't have that. Now that I have it, I'm like, oh, how sweet that is, you know? Notice that the fruit, or notice that the tree is not just a tree just hanging out there doing nothing, just a big stick coming out of the ground with nothing growing on it. It says that it yields its fruit in season. It says that its leaf does not wither, and in all that it does, he prospers. Are Christians only sometimes fruitful? No, look at the end of verse 3. It says, in all that he does, he prospers. I think some people would probably find some difficulty in that. There are probably times in each of our lives where we've been like, you know, I don't know that I was really too fruitful in that moment. But again, where did we start from all this? We started in verse 1 with the word blessed. And that is coming from a blesser. And so if we say that we're not actually fruitful, that's not calling into question just the tree. That's calling into question the planter. That's calling into question the Lord. So that's actually saying the Lord is not being fruitful through us. So it's not really an indictment of us as much as it is. It would be saying that's an indictment of him. But this psalm doesn't say that. It says in all that he does, he prospers. So as believers, we can take great reassurance in that. Notice also this phrase also kind of jumped out at me, and I really was like very prayerful and confused by it at first, but that yields its fruit in its season. So when you think about a lot of fruit, even here in Louisiana, to some degree, we have a very, very long summer-ish spring, you know, like we barely have real seasons here, but you know, fruit comes out off of, you know, trees only within certain seasons. It doesn't come generally year round. But we see that that's not actually the case. Again, back to the end of verse 3, where it says, in all that he does, he prospers. So what's the balance there between in its season? The thing that the Spirit really seemed to lead me towards is that this is really a progression. If you think back to verse 1, it says, you know, it's basically talking about putting off the wicked, sinful, and scornful. If you look at verse 2, it says, delight and meditate on the Lord. So there's a progression there. You're putting off something, you're putting on something. Verse 3, the first part of verse 3, you yield fruit. Second part of verse 3, you never fade, you never wither, and you never die. And ultimately, in all of this, in this progression, you prosper in everything. So that's the fruit that it seems to be talking about in its season. It's a season that you're being grown into. It's not something that you did when you were still, you know, when you very first necessarily were putting off the wickedness of your former walk, when we were completely lost. And then within the first 5 minutes of being a believer, suddenly we're bearing, you know, great fruit for the Lord. It's all new to us. The Lord has to grow us and has to like tend to us, care for us, cultivate us. Notice I skipped a pretty important word here, and that is what he is like. He is like a tree. And that was because all the rest of these really built up for that. So I really want to come back to that. The Hebrew for tree here is S, or ETS. It's used starting in the very first chapter of the entire Bible, Genesis 1. God made ets, or trees and plants, after their kind. Then look at Genesis 1:29. It says that ets will sustain Adam and Eve. These trees will bear fruit to sustain them. God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food." So those are what would sustain Adam and Eve. These are what they're being compared to now, or what we're being compared to as believers. In Psalm 1, the sustained become the sustainers. So Etz sustained life in Genesis 1. And in Psalm 1, you and I are fruitful Etz. We are never withering. We are always prospering. We are sustaining one another as believers in this body. You'll also remember from Psalm 1, we saw, "Blessed is the man who does not do these three things. He walks not, stands not, sits not." Now in verse 3, we also add some things to it. We say, "Blessed is the tree," or the etz, "who is planted by streams of water, who yields fruit, who does not wither, who prospers in all things." Just Friday night, Lauren and I were blessed to have an example of this right here from within GBF. We had Dustin and Samantha over, and we had a wonderful time with them. Talked about things spiritual. We talked about just things in life. We talked about family. We talked about everything. But at the end of the evening, they're about to leave, and it's not just, "Oh, hey, we had a good time. High five. See you later." It was, "Is it okay if we pray for you?" And that's what they asked us. And it was like, I mean, here's, you know, brother and sister in Christ, you know, that are in our house, blessing us with their prayers, sustaining us right there. And we're just like, you know, playing the part of Adam and Eve saying, "Please, you know, be the ets to us, be the sustainers, be the fruit, the ones giving us fruit and sustaining us." It was really a blessing. And I mean, afterwards, Lauren and I were like, "That was amazing. Like, I love that." So, also in closing, this is a really beautiful correlation that you find in Jeremiah 17. And this is very, very similar to the wording right here in Psalm 1 through 3, 1 through 3. Jeremiah 17, 5 through 8 says, "This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives." Which is exactly, you know, that's a version of what you see right there in Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. But then it transitions. It says, "But." Look at how these correlate to verse 3 in Psalm 1. Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8 says, "But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree," and the same word is used there, "etz, by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. Does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit." That sounds a lot like the tree in Psalm 1, 1 through 3. There's a tree in both Jeremiah and Psalm. It's planted. In both places, it has roots that are sustained by water, by a stream of water. Its leaves are always green. And in Psalm 1, it says the leaves never wither. It never has to worry in drought. Another sign that we don't really have to worry about death or the withering or anything that we see in Psalm 1. And it never fails to bear fruit. So in all he does, he prospers. And what is also in verse 3 of Psalm 1, it says that yields fruit in its season. Jeremiah, I guess because the Bible's not exactly chronological in the way the books are ordered, but Jeremiah was actually written before Psalm. Couldn't find anything that said that there was any borrowing here, but either way, it doesn't really matter. The Lord has like said it, and he has reset it. He has confirmed it in Scripture. I think that is really, really encouraging for us as brothers and sisters in Christ, because you weren't you weren't put into this world by happenstance. You weren't put into this church on accident. You weren't brought into this city and into the lives of everyone else in this room and in this body of believers just by chance. People in Zoom, same exact thing. You were a part of this body, and you were part of this body by design. You're a part of this body by for the Lord's glory and for him to bring about fruit in each other's lives, which I find great, great encouragement in. So I'm going to ask Mr. Todd, if you would, to pray for us. We'll just save prayer requests and everything until later on when Mr. Mark's doing the service. So if you would, Mr. Todd.
Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, for allowing us to gather to consider your word, consider your promises, consider your blessings, consider all that you've done on our behalf, Lord. We thank you, Father, that indeed we are blessed to walk in the wisdom of your word, Lord. We thank you for planting us in this church. We thank you for the body, for the bride of Christ, to encourage one another, Lord. We thank you for that encouragement. We thank you that you did not allow us to walk alone in this pilgrimage, Father, but you brought the brethren to walk alongside of us. We thank you for that encouragement it brings, Father. We thank you for the great work of salvation this morning. We thank you for all the ways of the beyond our understanding of how you work in the hearts of believers, to plant them here, to plant them there, to make them spring up, Lord, in dry ground. Thank you, Father, for fertilizing the hearts of our souls to receive this word, Father. May you be pleased to meet with us this morning to receive praise and honor and glory from our lips, Lord, from these words. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.